Last week, we started a new series, a three-week series called Stepping on Toes. And I said last week that oftentimes if you're told that you're going to have your toes stepped on, it's often easier to have them stepped on than if someone sneaks up and does it. So just to tell you up front, we're sort of looking at some passages in Scripture that push us a little bit. To start today, I want you to repeat after me. Salvation is free. It costs me nothing. Following Christ will cost me something. Refusing to follow Christ may cost me everything. Okay, one more time. Salvation is free, it costs me nothing. Following Christ will cost me something. Refusing to follow Christ may cost me everything. All right. See, if you're anything like me, I tend to like the first part. The salvation is free, it costs me nothing part. And I wish it would just end there because I'd like that part of it. And it's easy to become a Christian. When I was 8 years old, I accepted Christ. It was easy for me. I was at summer camp. My dad was preaching. I was in a camp environment all week long. There was a service. There was good music. I was with my friends. Some of my friends were going forward to accept Christ. I knew what I believed. I'd believed it all my life. I had been raised in church. I knew what was right. And as I thought about it, getting tossed in the lake of fire didn't really weigh high on my fun list of things to do. And so it dawned on me, this is as good a time as any to go forward, accept Christ, and submit my life to Him, and get baptized. Didn't cost me anything. Salvation is free. It cost me nothing. And if you're here today and you're not a Christian, you're maybe on the edge, or maybe you've been out for a while and you're dipping your toes back in, that's good news for you. That salvation is free. It costs us nothing. The problem is that following Christ will cost us something. And that is where we find the tension. That is where we run into the dilemma of discipleship, of what it means to follow Jesus Christ. See, for many people, for many, many, many people, Christianity consists of basically a seat or a pew on Sundays from 10:30 to noon to sit still, to look Christian, to say Christian things. And they end up measuring their commitment to Christ in terms of, did I get to my seat? Did I make it to my pew? Did I stay awake for the whole sermon? And I did it 3 out of the 4 Sundays that have just gone past this month. And when we do that, we conclude, hey, I'm in. I must be a good Christian and God must love me because salvation is free. It costs me nothing. And if we're really committed to Jesus, we get our whole family there with us, and we fill up a whole pew. Why? Because salvation is free. It costs me nothing. And in light of that, it seems like a really big sacrifice to get up early on a Sunday morning, to get everybody dressed, to get out the door, go to church, and endure a service, and then make it to the end of a sermon. And if we make that sacrifice, we just conclude we must be doing very, very well. And then we start to read the New Testament. And we don't find anything remotely resembling what we've just described as Christianity in there. Where we end up grading ourselves on how did you do? Well, did I get to my spot? Did I sit there long enough? And did I stay awake? You see, there's none of that in the New Testament. Jesus, in fact, says things like, if you're going to follow me, if you're going to believe in me, then you've got to do things that I say that you've got to do. And we think, well, wait. I like the salvation is free, it cost me nothing part. I like the did I get to my spot part. I like was I on time part. And I'll just sit here and wait for the resurrection and be a good Christian. And that part works for me. It's sort of like a cafeteria plan. I think I'll take a little bit of that, a little bit of that. Not so much of that, a lot of that, and I will never touch that. See, I sort of handle my faith like that sometimes. It's like, well, I'll take a little bit of God answers prayer. I'll take a little bit of He'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'll take a lot of He's going to come back someday and there'll be no more death or sickness. But then we get to the Bible and we see a totally different picture. Because following Jesus will cost you something. See, our natural pull, we tend to drift towards the event mentality. The mentality that says, if I'm a Christian and I get to my spot and sit in my chair, then God must love me because I made it to the event. And we forget along the way that following Jesus costs us something because salvation is free and it costs us nothing. And we actually end up thinking that the standard is, did you show up at the event? As if that is the pinnacle of what it means to be a Christian. And if you miss the event, don't you feel guilty? I mean, I run into people all the time in the store, and the first thing that they say, oh, we haven't been in church. We need to go back to church. As if that is the measurement of what your Christian life is. We start to think that the event is the measurement. Salvation is free, costs us nothing. And then we get to the Bible and see that it's so, so very much more. Today, I want to talk about that tension. I want to talk about that dilemma of discipleship. Maybe you're here today and you've been a Christian for a very, very long time. You may be here today and you're not yet a Christian. You're not sure. But our tendency is oftentimes to say, let's just keep it simple. Let's keep the free part in there. Let's make it as easy as we can. How about we not be disciples? How about we just be children of God? Because God loves his children and he'll let us all in, but disciples, they like have to do stuff. So I don't really want to be a disciple. I just want to be a child of God. I want to show up and be saved, and that's sort of where I want my faith to end. But when we dig into here, we find that the call on our lives is not to show up at a building. But the call on our lives are to be followers that reproduce ourselves in the lives of other people. And Jesus, I believe, knew that we would wrestle with that tension. And so he talks about it. And this tension actually is the tension that prevents some of you from growing in your spiritual lives. For some of you, you've been out there making disciples over the years, but you're tired, and so you're just sort of, I'm going to take a break. I'm just going to sit on the sidelines for the rest of my days because I'm waiting for Jesus to show up. Today I want to look at a passage where Jesus addresses a crowd that I think are wrestling with some of these same issues. If you have your Bible, let's dig into Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9 is a very familiar passage. Oftentimes it's so familiar that we skip over it. But Jesus is such a brilliant communicator that in this short passage today, he takes an entire lifetime of experience and reduces it into a few sentences, a few verses that we want to sort of dig into today. And this short passage today gives us reason enough to move past the I'm just a child of God to the I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, let's start in verse 23. Jesus is speaking to a crowd, and then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself. And if you think it's bad for you, these disciples, to tell them to deny themselves is worse. Look what he says just in the verse before that, Luke 22, or 9:22. And he said to them, and he's talking to the disciples, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law. And he must be killed on the third day, and on the third day be raised to life. So just get the picture. These guys have committed their lives to following Jesus Christ. They left their businesses. They've either taken their families on the road or left their families for a period of travel. They've left their relationships. They've committed financially. And so Jesus then says, okay, the next phase in the plan is they're going to kill me. Wait a second, Jesus. You really could have told us that up front, because this sort of significantly changes the game plan here. You're the Messiah. You can't be killed. And that Jesus says, no. These guys are really ticked off. It's not going the way the religious leaders think it ought to go. They're going to kill me. Jesus, that's not really fair for you to kind of withhold that information from us until this point in the party. Because we've spent all this time, all this money, all this effort to be following you. And Jesus says, look, if you want to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. Now, what does that mean? See, that's not a really deep theological point. It just means that sometimes you've got to say no to yourself. Today we call it self-control. You see, as we pursue life with our family, as we pursue financial stability, as we pursue our career goals and down that path professionally, occasionally God's going to step in and say, no, I don't want you to go there. I don't want you to be involved in that. I don't want you to connect with them. I don't want you to purchase or invest there. And we have a decision to make. Either we're going to say yes to what we believe that Jesus is asking us to do and say no to ourselves, or we're going to say no to Jesus in order to say yes to what we want to pursue. And Jesus also says in this passage, I want to warn you up front. You're going to come to decisions in life. You're going to come as you journey from the front to the end. You're going to come across forks in the road, and you've got to, at times, deny yourself and what it is that you want to pursue. There are going to be times when you want to date her, and I'm going to say, no, not that one. And you're going to have to make an emotional sacrifice. There are going to be times when you want out of a relationship because it's not what you thought it was going to be. But you stood at the altar and you made your vows, and I'm going to say you need to stick it in there, and you're going to have to make an emotional sacrifice. You're going to want to just toss in $100 to the plate every time you show up to make yourself feel better about yourself, but Jesus would say, our Father in heaven wants a percentage, and you're going to have to choose whether or not you're going to make a financial sacrifice. You may just want to work with Christians because that seems like a lot easier, and there's not as much tension or, you know, other stuff that goes on. But I'm going to ask you at times to get involved with people that don't believe or don't think anything like you, that might be different than you. And you're going to have to make that sacrifice, even if it's harder. There are going to be times when you're going to want to keep your faith quiet at the office, and you're just going to want to have your Bible in your drawer and not really talk about it. But Jesus at times may want you to speak up at the appropriate time. And you're going to have to make a sacrifice, whether it's relationally or reputationally or whatever that might be. There are going to be times in life where we have to say no to ourselves in order to say yes to Him. And that's when we want to retreat to, I think I just want to be a child of God. I'm not sure I really want to be a follower of Jesus. I think I'll just wait around until Jesus comes back and then the whole resurrection thing. I don't really want to do all of this stuff that you're asking me to do. And if you think you feel that way, imagine how the disciples felt on that day when Jesus told them these words. See, somehow they missed the and be raised in 3 days part and focused only on the killed part. But it gets worse. He says in 23, if anyone come after me, deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And see, to us, a cross is a piece of jewelry. But these guys had seen them. And they'd smelled them and heard the sounds surrounding crosses in use and iron piercing flesh, and seen the swords pierce the sides, and heard the cries of agony, and seen the dried blood on the ground, and watched families grieve around crosses. So for Jesus to say, pick up your cross daily, if you want to follow me, Jesus would say, this is what you're going to have to do. And I'm sure they're thinking, but Jesus, you do know where that leads, right? To pick up a cross is one of the last things that a person often does. So how about weekly? How about like Sundays at 10:30? And Jesus says, no, it's something you need to do daily. If you want in, if you want to be part of the real deal, it's much more than just salvation is free, it costs me nothing. While that is true, and while that is foundational, it includes that following Jesus will cost me something. And that is why churches across America, sometimes if we're honest with ourselves, maybe reflected here, but that's why churches across America are filled with people who are sitting in a seat, not just wanting to do anything, but enjoying the show, and they don't show much else when they leave the building. Because salvation is free, it costs me nothing. But following Jesus will cost us something, and sometimes it will cost us a lot. And Jesus knew that. And that's why these next verses are so brilliant, packed with so much, we could probably spend a month here. And he starts the next verse by saying, for, which really means, and therefore, here it comes as a result of, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Now, doesn't that charge you up? Make you feel a whole lot better. That's a pat me on the back verse right there. You know, and here's something to understand. Jesus here isn't just talking about our natural physical death, right? Because everybody dies. That's not something unique. Everybody's going to lose their life in a physical way. I believe that Jesus is talking about much more than that. Jesus, I think, is making the point here that if you decide that your faith is going to consist of just focusing on the event, if you can just show up and get to your seat and endure to the end, put in your time, not want to pay the price, not really want to be serious about following me, not taking up your cross, not doing those things because it costs too much for you, because it seems too hard, because it's going to, you know, cost you financially, cost your reputation, cost you relationally, whatever it is. If you come to the point where your faith is like, I just can't give up those things that I consider core to what my life is, Jesus says, if you want to hold on to your life, let me make you a promise. You'll lose it. That, see, what makes up life is different for everyone, isn't it? But for some people, you know, especially going through school, ladies, it's like, if I just meet the right guy, if I meet the right guy, then my life will be complete. And if we can have that, you know, Barbie and Ken thing and the picket fence, if that's what I want. And God, I'm just not sure I can commit everything because you're just going to make me marry some uber Christian. And I don't want to do that. I just want to meet the right guy without asking. And so if we pursue that, we're going to miss what life really is. For some of us, it's a job or a career or making financial gains. And I want to do my thing. And God, I'm not sure that he would want me down that path. So I'm just not going to commit everything yet. I'm going to pursue what I want to pursue and maybe keep God in my back pocket for when I need him. Or guys, you grow up and you want to marry Barbie. I mean, you just want her to look great. And there's no Christian girls that look like that, you think. And so you're just not sure you want to commit to that. And then you finally meet one and you get her and you marry her and you put her on the shelf because you're on searching after the next thing. And then eventually Barbie has a little bit of rust, so you trade her in for a new model. And you find out that, you know what, those are the guys that I used to despise. But that's what you've become. And in keeping your own life, in fact, Jesus says, you lose it. Maybe for you, life is a sport. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's having the right toys, whether it's a car or a house or a boat. I'm not sure what it is. But let's face it. When we say no to Jesus Christ in these terms, we're essentially saying to him, Jesus, there's someone, some person, some man, some woman, something that when I consider my life, I would rather choose them than choose you. I want what I want more than what you want for me. And we would never say it like that, but that's essentially by our choices what we're communicating to him. And Jesus says, the person who says no to me, the person who says, I'm not going to deny myself, I'm not ever going to say no to myself, just a heads up, you're going to lose your life or what defines life for you. The very thing that you're in pursuit of will slip away from you if you're not willing to deny yourself. Why? Because Jesus, I believe, would say, in saying no to me, you are trying to squeeze out of life and out of people and out of things the very thing that is not there. Because you're trying to squeeze happiness and satisfaction and fulfillment out of the very things that cannot provide you with that. And at the end of your life, when it is too late, you'll look back and realize that what you were pursuing in life was not in all of the things that you thought it was in, and you will have lost what you pursued and never found. And see, the flip side, I believe, is also true. Jesus would say that when you're faced with a decision, when you come to that fork in the road, if you're willing to put your desires second to what God wants for your life, then guess what? Sure, maybe you won't have as many hobbies. Maybe you won't have as many toys. Maybe you won't earn as much money. Maybe you won't have the things that you think that you need. But when you make God first and put him above your deal and give up some things in order to put him first, you will find that we gain the very thing in life that we spent years pursuing sometimes and never find. Because by giving up some of those things, Jesus connects us with the real thing. And what seems like a sacrifice now is really an investment in the future. Now watch where Jesus goes from here. If that's a little bit confusing, I think he clears up some of this. In the next verse, verse 25. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self? Some versions might say his very life. But here it says his very self. That is who that we are. Jesus says, look, take the very best scenario. You pursue life and you make all the money that you ever wanted. You got the house that you dreamed of. You got to drive the car that you always thought was the thing that you wanted to drive. You climbed the career ladder. You were, you know, like mega successful in your life. But at the end of the day, what have you gained if you lose your very self in the process? And then Jesus describes what I think thousands of people experience, and you probably know some of them. And this is a great warning for those of us in our 20s or 30s. When we define life wrongly, when we say that is what life is all about, or that is what life is all about, or he or she is what life is all about, and then we run after the things that don't really matter, thinking that they matter more than anything, that over time we become someone different. And perhaps you've seen that happen to someone maybe who has been close to you. Maybe you have accomplished what you hoped to accomplish, but you're different than you were when you started out. And not in a good way. In a way that you've never intended, because you saw the stuff after you've gained it all and said, how did I get here in my life? Many of us know people who've worked hard for many years because they wanted to accomplish certain things. And by the time they got to retirement, they had no relationship with their kids. And maybe they're not even married because their spouse left them. Because they're never at home because they were pursuing what they thought was life. And maybe everybody at work hates them. And they get done and they're retired and they look around and I've got all this stuff. But what does it matter? Because I've got nothing else to show for it. See, Jesus says, I'll make you a promise. I can make you a promise that in the process of chasing after what you think life is all about, even if you get it or don't get it, it's the process that one day you're going to lose yourself and still not find what you're looking for. Guy meets Barbie, marries Barbie, puts her on the shelf, marries someone else who he thinks is the new Barbie, and over time says, I'm not who I thought I was. I used to hate guys who swapped wives to get ahead, and now I am that man. Maybe it's a lady who grew up wanting the picket fence, and she got the picket fence, but then, you know, she wanted the columns, and so she pursued the columns, and she got the columns, and then she needed the 10 acres. And before long, she said, you know, I used to look down on women who were never satisfied. How did I become that person? Jesus says, if we misprioritize our lives, one day we're going to look up in the mirror and say, I don't like the person that I see. And even if we gain the whole world, even if we have all the success, if we find all the right secrets, Jesus promises that you will lose yourself in that process. How many times have I sat with someone and they say, he's not the man that I married? That happens all the time. Here's a huge warning to guys, if you're in your 20s, ambition is good. I'm not against ambition. Go for it. But not if wrongly applied. Jesus says, if you think you're the exception, you're wrong. And the moment you say, God, I'm too busy. Jesus, I think I'm going to take a pass on that. I don't have the time. I'm not sure I want to make that sacrifice. Jesus says, you have started down a path that you will not like where it leads. And then he goes one more round, and perhaps this is the hardest one for us to get our hands around. Verse 26, he says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Now see, this one, this is like so fourth dimensional, whatever it is. It's hard for us to really understand. Sometimes it's hard for us to buy. But this is important enough to Jesus to mention because he sort of has this eternal perspective thing going on. But Jesus says, if you are too busy for God now, if you're ashamed of me and my relationship to him and what we're about, and you're just seeking what you want in your life over what God wants for you in your life, then one day when I come back, I'm going to be ashamed to call you a follower. I'm going to be ashamed to represent you before my Heavenly Father. Now, what does that mean? The Bible is very clear that there's a day coming that when God will turn to Jesus and say, it's time. It's time for you to go back and to clean up the house, so to say. And the Bible says that the clouds are going to open and Jesus is going to return. It says riding on a white horse, but he's going to be coming back with his angels. He's going to wipe off the face of the earth everything that's evil, get rid of all sin. There's going to be a whole end of the world thing, Armageddon, all of that. until there's no more opposition to God's program for the world. And then the Bible says God shows up. Just like it was in the Garden of Eden. God walking on the earth with mankind. But first, when he comes back, there's going to be a judgment. And Jesus died for our sins to take the payment because God requires perfect justice. God says for every sin there must be a penalty paid, and I will allow my son to pay that penalty for you, but you must accept that payment. And so on that day, when we stand before God in that judgment, I don't know exactly how this works, but I just know sort of the outline here. When we stand before God in judgment, Jesus is going to stand at our side, and he's going to say, I took the penalty for Seth. Or I took the penalty for Donna, or I took it for Vicky, or for Bill, or whoever. But if we live our lives in a way that we're ashamed of Jesus, Jesus says that on that day, he'll be ashamed to represent us to his Father. Not sure how that works, just know that I don't want to know how it feels when it comes to that day. And see, suddenly all the trappings of life don't seem all that appealing to us. All of a sudden, the things that we spend so much time and so much energy to try to pursue and to gain and to achieve, suddenly it seems a little bit more reasonable to deny myself now in deference to what God wants to do in my life. I'm too busy. I've got too much going on to follow you, Jesus. Suddenly sounds like a very foolish thing to say. You know, it's sort of exciting in some ways because when I read this, people come to mind who I know are trying to do family, trying to make financial ends meet and make gains, who are trying to climb the corporate ladder, but have understood that when faced with a choice, they're willing to deny themselves in order to say yes to God, say no to me and yes to Jesus. See, because they see their families and they see their business and they see their careers as vehicles, as avenues through which they can serve other people in the name of Jesus Christ. At work, you know people who just use their position in ways to meaningfully meet the needs of other people in the name of Jesus Christ, and then there are some of us at work who don't. There are people that we know who use their businesses in a way to represent Christ well to the world and deal with ethics that are top-notch to treat people fairly, and then we know people, even if they're believers, who don't. Because there are a number of people who realize that Jesus is still alive and is coming back, and that's enough reason for them to say no to themselves. So, why is it that people take their hard-earned money and either give it away or to put it into some ministry in order to serve other people? Because they have realized that, hey, this stuff is great, but it ain't life. That's not where my meaning or my significance comes from. You can seek all you want. You can squeeze life all you want. You can invest all you want. You can work all you want. But you will never find life in those things that many people define as the core of life for them. Why? Because Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And Jesus would say, when you say no to me, you're saying no to life. Ask yourself this. What if Peter, James, and John had said, nah, Jesus, we're not going to follow you. We've got a fishing business. Right? Bad decision, huh? I mean, here we are today naming our kids after these guys. But when the day Jesus stood in front of them and said, follow me, what did they know was at stake? Nothing. They didn't know what was at stake. We talked about this a little bit last week. All they knew is they had a decision. Are we going to say no to ourselves and yes to this man who is the Messiah? Or are we going to say yes to ourselves and say, you know what? This fishing business is really important. Dad, he's worked really hard. He established this. And we don't really see, Jesus, how we could feasibly get away. I mean, just financial wouldn't be good for us. And we don't have the time off. Haven't got enough vacation days. I'm not sure that's really a reasonable request, Jesus. So thank you for the opportunity, but we'll pass because we want to be responsible. See, we look back on their lives and we think, boy, they sure made the right decision. The same issue faces us almost every day. The same things are at stake for us, and we don't know what they are. There is no way that we know what's on the other side of the decisions that we have to make. Will I say yes to me or yes to God? We have no idea what hangs in the balance. But we can be assured that if we say no to God and yes to us, we will never find out. So the challenge is, are we going to deny ourselves? Are we going to be serious about following Jesus? Or are we willing to just settle for attending church? See, some of you here today are like, preach it, that's right. Just get on it. And I'm so glad you're in our church, because people like you make a difference, because you understand from an eternal perspective the things that are most important are not the things that sit around us. But there are some here, if the truth were known, you're still trying to squeeze all you can out of this life because you think that that's really all that matters. And it's nice to have God sort of on the side and to show up on Sundays because you just want to sort of wait around and see if that whole Jesus thing is real. And if it is, you sort of want to get all your bases covered. But I don't want to commit too much and be seen as a fanatic or to be seen as kind of over the top. And maybe you've concluded that after years and years and years, maybe you're this type of person, after years and years you're pursuing these things, you've concluded, you know what, there's nothing there. I've had those things, and I just wasn't happy. There's got to be something more, and maybe that's why you're here today. And Jesus says, if you follow me, and you're serious about it, I will give you all that you need in your life. So what is a disciple? A disciple is one who learns and one who follows, which causes us to ask two questions. One, Lord, what is it that you want me to know? Because we're supposed to be learners. And the second question is, Lord, where do you want me to go? Because we're to follow him, wherever that may lead us. And when a man or woman submits to Jesus Christ in this way, life begins to get very, very exciting. And yes, there are certain sacrifices that have to be made, but you'll never face a boring moment. But I will say, if you follow Jesus in this way and submit, you will find a joy and a peace in life that you will not find in the pursuit of all of these other things that surround us. And our desire as a church is that you cross that line, that you move from just sitting in the pews or in the chairs every week, which, you know, we love having you sit in the chairs, so don't leave today, but to move past that, to not just measure your Christian life as, did I show up 3 out of 4 Sundays? But to ask yourself, what does Jesus want me to do Monday through Saturday? How do I handle my relationships? How do I handle my business dealings? How do I handle the guys who mow my grass? How do I handle the person who cuts me off in traffic? How do I handle the lady at Walmart who doesn't know how to check out anybody? How do I handle those people in the name of Jesus Christ? Oh, you've met her. See, for some people here today, maybe you're not a Christian yet. I would encourage, maybe for you, stepping across the line towards this baptism is your first step of submission. And if that's you, maybe the person who you came with today can talk to you more about that. Now, for some of us, we've been Christians for a long, long time. But we've just been sitting back, enjoying the show, and think, hey, this is it. This is where it's at. I would just ask you, would you be willing to pray, Lord, show me what you want me to know and where you want me to go. Lead me into those places of opportunity where I can represent you well. And when I come to a fork in the road, help me to say yes to you. Help me to see the choice clearly in eternal terms rather than just what's most expedient and, you know, convenient for me then. Let's wrap up by repeating after me. Salvation is free. It costs me nothing. Following Jesus will cost me something. And refusing to follow Christ may cost me everything. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for making it simple and clear, even though it is not easy. Lord, I would just ask that you would make North Hills a magnet for people who want to be true followers, who are focused on you to spend their lives making sacrifices to say yes to you and no to themselves. Help us to create an environment where your spirit is so apparent that nobody can leave our gatherings being content, just filling a chair, waiting for you to send Jesus back. Lord, I would pray that we would have the tenacity to be faithful, to say yes to you, that we would be learners and followers every day of our lives.